Cleveland and many other cities in the Great Lakes region were built on manufacturing. We made things here. Over the past several decades, many of the manufacturing companies and jobs went to warmer climates or more business-friendly regions or even overseas where the labor force was much less expensive. Between the exodus of many manufacturing companies and some of their environmental practices, the area became known as the Rust Belt. From all the bad news you hear, you would think that manufacturing in Cleveland, Northeast Ohio, and even the U.S. has been pretty much lost to China or other foreign economies. As you'll hear on this show, that's not the case. There are real opportunities to grow our manufacturing companies right here in Cleveland and beyond. It can certainly be accomplished, though it will take some hard work and some smart people, one of whom is our guest today. Coming to you from the world-renowned Magnum Building on beautiful Payne Avenue in the heart of Cleveland, Ohio, it's the entrepreneur himself, Dan Hansen, bringing you the Great Lakes Geek Show. Today in the Great Lakes Geek Show, we're speaking with Rebecca Morgan, the president of Fulcrum Consulting Works, Incorporated. Hi, Becky.
Hi, Dan.
What does Fulcrum do?
Fulcrum is a manufacturing company. We consult with manufacturing companies to help the owners of those businesses make more money through their operations.
Well, that's a good goal. Why the name Fulcrum?
Well, I like that name. Fulcrum means leverage or point of leverage, and what I help companies do is leverage their resources for more success.
And what does a typical client look like if there is such an animal?
Well, I've had the broad spectrum from one company under $1 million to clients at $1 billion, but the majority of my client base is manufacturing, privately held, $20 to $100 million in sales.
And what is your personal background in manufacturing?
Well, my degrees are in economics, and I was a banker for Cleveland Trust back in 1978. I was an economic forecaster and forecasted the 20% prime rate, which wasn't that far off, but I discovered I wasn't a banker, and I went into manufacturing, and I had 15 years experience in manufacturing before I started my consulting business 16 years ago. I had worked for Purdue Farms, which is in the chicken business, and Stouffer's, which is in the macaroni and cheese business, and then I worked for TRW and Precision Cast Parts Corporation. They are in the airplane business. So there's been a wide variety of products I've been involved with, processes, etc.
Now, Cleveland was built on manufacturing, and for years we've heard about the Rust Belt and how manufacturing is dying. Well, what's your take on those statements?
Well, number one, I think that we've taken some steps to no longer deserving that dirty, stinky kind of reputation that manufacturing has. There's a lot more clean manufacturing. Now, there is a lot of manufacturing that's gone away. There's no denying that. But the reality is that people have a want and a need for things. And as long as there are things, somebody's going to have to make them. And there's no reason why that somebody who's going to make them can't be in Northeast Ohio. Unfortunately, there are some manufacturers who have been oblivious to what's going on worldwide. They don't acknowledge worldwide competition. They have the theory that if we're not pursuing international markets, then everybody will leave us alone. The reality is every little manufacturer working out of their garage in this area is competing with a little manufacturer in somebody else's garage, you know, 1,000 or 20,000 miles away. If you're oblivious to that and think you can hide, if you haven't already failed, you soon will. Those around here, I see a lot of businesses that really have great potential, but they have a crisis of confidence. They're not quite sure they can compete on a cost business. They're the people who kind of throw their arms up in the air and say, we can't compete with China. Well, if you don't think you can, you're probably right. But if you want to find ways to compete with China, there's a lot of things that can be done. So those people are in a point where they really need to make a decision about their business and how they want to run it. And then there's a great collection of companies around here that really believe in their own talent, believe in their own skill base, their customer base. And those people take action. They've expanded markets. They've added facilities. They've changed in the way they interact with customers. And those businesses are doing extremely well.
You know, it's interesting. It seems that same crisis of confidence that Cleveland has suffered from so many years, you're seeing it here in manufacturing as well. But your take is that if you get beyond that, we can, as a city, a region, a state, compete with other regions and even other countries like China.
There's absolutely no reason why we cannot. Now, people will talk about the added costs we have because of all the regulations and the environmental limitations, etc. And yeah, we've got to be better by 15 or 20% to compete to pay for those things, if you will. But I'm not sure that too many people, being honest with themselves, could really say, well, if we could start dirtying the air again, we could compete. I think we want to do it in an environmentally safe way, and there are ways to do that. When I first moved to Cleveland in 1978, and downtown was stinky, and people told me they couldn't believe I would work downtown. And the reputation has changed considerably. Yes, it costs us more to be conscious and think of future generations, but I think we're good enough, we can do that. There's no reason why we can't continue to be manufacturing leaders in the world.
Is there one or two things that just jump out at you that we need to do in the city, the state, the country to compete globally in manufacturing?
A lot of manufacturing, the future of manufacturing, rests on the companies themselves. Absolutely, there's things government can do. In the state of Ohio, we just switched from an asset-based tax to a revenue-based tax, the now famous CAT tax. That could have been a lot more helpful 15 years ago than it will be now. But there are things government can do to make it a more friendly environment. But the reality is it's on the shoulders of a company whether or not they're going to succeed. And I think that we can do that. I first moved here in 78, and the Union Club was where everybody who was somebody went. And unfortunately, that basically meant white men, because that's the way the connections work. That's the way the markets worked. We now have, there's an entrepreneurial class in Cleveland that is a bunch of little independent people out there, and they may have a 10-person or a 50-person company, or like many others, there's a 1-person company. The connection, the way to communicate, the mechanisms that were there before 25, 30 years ago are not there now, and we've got to do a good job of supporting those entrepreneurial people. And quite often, they're so busy running their business, they don't have time to get involved. But there's things that government can do to basically get out of the way, but not do that in a way that ends up with hurt workers or dirty air, which is basically the OSHA and the EPA kinds of things that, you know, we complain about them as a cost burden, but the reality is there's no reason why they should hurt us.
You know, let's get a little into the manufacturing here a second. You said that lean manufacturing is first and foremost a philosophy and a way of life. Can you first of all define lean manufacturing for us and explain what you mean by that statement of it being a philosophy and way of life?
Sure. I think everybody in Northeast Ohio is familiar with the sales of Toyota, the profits of Toyota, setting all kinds of records while domestic car manufacturers are falling apart. The Toyota system that they developed coming out of World War II has been transformed, or it's been given another name in the United States, and that name is lean manufacturing. If you look at the results and you compare Toyota to anybody else, you'd have to say they know something, and they know a lot of something. A company like Ford calls it the Ford production system. They don't want to call it the Toyota production system, but it's based on the same tools. One of the problems that we have in this country is that we tend to look for the quick answer, and so a lot of people here have fallen in love with the tools of lean. And so they think they've implemented lean, and they really haven't. Toyota will tell you that their success is not based on the tools of lean, but rather on the way they live, the way they make decisions. It is absolutely a philosophy and an approach to business, an approach to the world. And the tools are simply there at Toyota to help them accomplish things until they figure out a better way to do it. Nobody at Toyota thinks that the tools is the key to their success. They think it's the way we think and ask questions of one another, the expectations we have, etc. So the reason I say that lean is a way of life, for me, I use TPS, Toyota Production System, and lean interchangeably, because I think they need to be. With our sloppy definition here of lean that's really just about the tools, we're missing the entire point. So I use those terms interchangeably because I want people to understand that lean, to be successful, really does need to be equivalent to the Toyota production system. And again, it's not a silver bullet. Toyota will tell you that they certainly don't have it perfected. They've been working on it for over 50 years, and they still have a long ways to go. The rest of us are much further behind. And again, it's not, you know, doing a 5S event where you clean out things and you label things and you paint some yellow stripes on the floors are not going to make you more money if that's all you do.
Yeah, radio frequency ID, RFID, seems to have taken off, and there's still a huge potential with that. Are there any other new technologies or techniques that excite you and that we should be watching for?
One of the most important things is collaboration. We are very much in an international, both from a marketing perspective and from a supply perspective. Every business is really an international business, and every business has to interface with other companies extremely well. So there is a lot of collaboration techniques and tools that are out there in the world now. They're still not developed all that well. And part of that is we don't know how to collaborate in the most effective way. We're hesitant to give up that, you know, we want the cheapest vendor, or, you know, we want to have the right to have three quotes. You know, that kind of mentality is still kind of getting in the way of collaboration, because if you're going to do that well, you have to share a tremendous amount of information and style, approach, et cetera, with other businesses. But there is collaboration software that's on the market. There's, I was just talking to a software company yesterday who's putting out a new set of softwares that's process modeling across the supply network. So it's one of those things, you know, if a butterfly flutters in Russia, what changes in the rest of the world kind of thing. Well, this model is, if something changes here in one order or one issue, where does that flow back through the rest of the supply network? You know, where's the problem going to be, and how do we work together to fix it? So a lot of that is going to be on technology. A lot of that is on analytical tools. A lot of that is pretty easy electronic technology. So I think that's really the most important and the next big growth area.
Okay, now listeners, you have to visit this website either to follow the link, click on the link here on the page, or if you're listening, go to www.fulcrumwi.com. That's FulcrumCWI.com. And check it out. There's a lot of great information, some free tips. You can sign up for a newsletter, find out more about some of these case studies and strategies. Now, Becky, finally, you work all over. You're not just a Northeast Ohio company. How do you see Cleveland's chances as competing with some of the other regions you work in, just from an entrepreneurial standpoint, from a manufacturing standpoint?
Well, I think we have a bit of a disadvantage here. I've just done some work. I just wrote an article for the San Antonio Business Journal on the future of manufacturing in San Antonio. Toyota's building a new plant there, and the question is, how do they leverage that into supporting manufacturing of all kinds? You've seen that the automotive companies, a lot of the international companies, BMW, et cetera, are all building plants in the South. We originally went there 20 years ago for cheap labor rates, you know, $6 an hour instead of 10 or whatever. Well, that's not why people go there now, but there's business-friendly environments. And then there's also, I mean, whether we like it or not, there's still a negative connotation with unions, and there's a lot of companies that don't want to locate in a high union environment. So even though most of the unions here have caught on that it's not them against the management, but it's rather them in collaboration with the management, we've learned that in many, many cases, but there's still a concern to intentionally build a plant in a heavy union area. Union membership is certainly way down, but it's still a reputation of the area, and we need to be, you know, somehow we have to overcome that, and we have to be business friendly politically, in labor supplies, in educational supplies, and then of course always in the transportation, you know, the logistics of where a company's suppliers and customers are.
Today in the Great Lakes Geek Show, we've been speaking with Rebecca Morgan, the president of Fulcrum Consulting Works Incorporated. Thanks, Becky. You've been listening to the Great Lakes Geek Show. Come back soon at www.greatlakesgeek.com.